Okay, Rabosa, I hope all is good. A very, very exciting day. Today we start Seder Nashim with Maseches Yevamos. And just a couple of words of introduction. Obviously, Yevamos is going to talk very heavily about the mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza. The mitzvah of Yibum, again, is if a male dies, Rachman Litzalem, without children, so there's a mitzvah for the males, for the Nifter's brother, to marry the Nifter's wife. And if they're not interested, that meaning that would be the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is not done like we do Kiddushin, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. It's done only with Bia, meaning an act of Bia with the Nifter's brother and the wife. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. If they're not interested, if either one is not interested in that situation, so then we have the mitzvah of Chalitza, and that will dissolve, I guess, the link between the Nifter's wife and the Nifter's brother. The connection between those two, right? She's not allowed to marry anybody else until they do something about that connection. That connection is called a Zika, which we will discuss further. That's basically the idea of Yibum and Chalitza, right, for those who are unaware. Now, this is one of the more difficult Masechtas in Shas. You know, there's a Chazal that says that the Mashiach is Ani Rochev Al HaChamor, is a poor person who's riding on a donkey. And again, as we mentioned when we did it in the Seches Erevin, so Chazal explained that Ani is an acronym for Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos. Right? And those are, I guess, you know, arguably the most difficult Masechtas in Shas. And the idea is that when Am Yisrael are learning not only the easy Masechtas, shall we say, but also when they're spending time learning the difficult Masechtas, putting in a little bit more effort into our Talmud Torah. Not that learning Daf Yomi doesn't require effort, but when you have a difficult Masechta like this, so at the end of the day, you have even more effort. So then, you know, Am Yisrael are rewarded appropriately, and Mitzvah Shem Mashiach should be coming. Mitzvah Shem Amir V'Amenu Amen. Now, just very quickly, why do we start Seder Nashim with Yevamos? So if you look at the Tosfos Yeshanim is on the Daf in Maseches Yevamos. You'll see him right, pretty much every page. If I'm not mistaken, he's on at least in my Gemara, he's on the left. He's featured pretty heavily, and he asked that question, why did we start with Yevamos, right? Yevamos seems to be, you know, it's not a happy topic. Rachman Litzlan, lo aleinu, right? Probably should have started, logically, with Kiddushin, right? How do you marry a woman, right? Then you could do Gittin, you could do Yevamos, you could do Ksubis, right? Again, you'd imagine the order would be, you know, something like that. So he asked that question, gives a bunch of answers over here. Again, I'm not going to go through all of them. One of them, if you remember, I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but at the end of Maseches Moed Katan, so Tosfos over there mentions that we start with Yevamos in Nashim, because Nashim comes after Moed, right? Again, based on the Pasuk. And basically, we're going from Puranisa to Puranisa. We're going from Puranas to Puranas, right? Moed Katan obviously deals with the Velos, so we kind of just continue the theme, right, of someone passing away, right, and then kind of just in a different realm, and that's how we kick off Seder Nashim. Now, obviously, in our Seder, in our order, we do not have Moed Katan as the last Masechta in Moed. We have Chagiga. Okay, could be that they had a different order, and that's one of the answers to those Yeshanim quotes. Again, another answer, just to give you another, you know, another answer is that we're going to talk about all the women here who are usher. So basically, Tosfos Yeshanim just says practically, right? We can't talk about the process of marriage until we talk about who you are allowed to marry. So in as you'll see in a second, the Mishnah is going to discuss a lot of the women that you're not allowed to marry, that will have impact in terms of whether you're going to do Yibum or not. So we had to talk about that before you can even discuss the process. You got to know who's in the Parsha, right? Who's eligible. Okay, right, the other answers, you can check it out. But again, let's dive into the Mishnah. Well, I guess even before we dive into the Mishnah, there are kind of three things that we need to kind of prep before we learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to talk about really not three things, but I guess three stages really. The first thing you need to know is, I guess four technically, but again, the idea of Yibum, again, being that we're going to use Reuven and Shimon just because it's easy. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven passes away without kids. Rachman Litzlan, so Reuven's wife, right, marries Shimon. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. If either one is not interested in that arrangement, so then you have Chalitza. If for whatever reason Reuven's wife is what's called an erva, something that is a woman who is usher to Shimon, So then Yibum and Chalitza as well is not performed, meaning there is no need to do the Yibum. Meaning Chalitza is only a situation when you have Yibum, right? And again, if there's an Erva, if there's some sort of forbidden relationship situation, for example, let's say if Reuven's, I guess you have to flip it around a little bit. Let's say if Reuven is the one who passes away, so he is married to Shimon's daughter, right? And again, an uncle is allowed to marry a niece. Again, it doesn't even have to be a creepy situation. It could be where, let's say, Reuven is much older than Shimon, right? So, or the other way around, I guess, right? Shimon's much older than Reuven. Right, it gets confusing. A lot of these relationships, really, a lot of the difficulty of the Masechta is kind of figuring out the relationships and you know, this to that and that to the other. So again, if you have the charts that, let's say, in the Art Scroll or the Masechta or other Gemaras, so it is very, very, very helpful. We'll try as best we can to speak it out over the recording, but it is obviously very often easier to use a visual. So again, in a scenario, let's say, for example, when the wife who's supposed to marry the brother is an erva, is a forbidden relationship to the brother, let's say, for example, because she's his daughter, so then the yibum does not apply, chalitza does not apply. Okay, that's step one. Second step is that if for whatever reason there are multiple wives, again, back in the day, multiple wives, right? It was not uncommon. But if multiple wives, actually, ironically enough, a co-wife, as we're going to see, is called a tsara, which literally means an enemy, which, okay, that's probably kind of hilarious, but basically, a tsara is a co-wife. So if there are any co-wives, so there's not going to be any yibum with them either. Meaning, technically, right, again, if Reuven had a couple of wives, right, and then Reuven passed away with no kid, without kids, so Shimon could do yibum, right, with either one of those wives. But if one of those wives is, let's say, Shimon's daughter, so then obviously he's not going to marry his daughter. That's forbidden. He's also not going to have to do yibum with the other wives as well. And the third rule is that this extends ad infinitum. That meaning, let's say one of those other wives, right, again, Reuven passes away, he has two wives, right? One of them is Shimon's daughter, so he's not going to do yibum. The other one, let's say the other one marries a third brother, marries Levi, and then Levi dies, leaving this other wife and another wife. So the other wife, right, the another wife, right, then cannot no longer marry Shimon. Again, let's just use names. If it's a little bit unclear, then we'll dive into the text. Right, let's say Reuven has usually what they use is the Shvatim, and ironically enough, because we don't know. I mean, I guess it's not common to know the names of the Shvatim. They use the names of the Imahos as well for wives, but it really should be it doesn't matter. Anyway, that's usually what they use. They use, let's say, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, just so people know off the top of their head, and then obviously Rachel and Leah, and if you need to get to the third wife and fourth wife, so often enough it's Bilhah and Zilpah, or, you know, other names, whatever. But so anyway, let's say Reuven has a couple of wives, right? Reuven is Rachel and Leah, and Rachel is Shimon's daughter. So if Reuven passed away, God forbid, so then obviously Shimon can't marry Rachel, that's his daughter. And he also doesn't have to marry Leah because, again, right, the Rachel being his daughter is going to make him not have to do Yibum to Leah. Let's say Leah then and goes, right, she's free to do whatever she wants. Let's say now she marries Levi, which is also, right, the brother of Reuven and Shimon, and then Levi dies. And Levi was married to Leah and some other girl, and let's say Bilhah. So now Bilhah, right, or Leah, right, Leah again didn't have to do Yibum with Shimon in the first time. Right, she was called a tzara. She was a co-wife of Rachel in the first situation. Now Leah and Bilhah are the other co-wives of Levi, but Leah, right, again, is going to pater Bilhah from marrying Shimon, even though there's no relationship whatsoever between Bilhah and Shimon. But Leah, who was originally a co-wife of Rachel, who was Shimon's daughter, she is going to make Bilhah not have to do Yibum, right, with Shimon, and certainly Shimon doesn't have to do Yibum with Leah. Basically, long story short, what this means is, and if you get the Lundus, it really becomes a lot easier, is that a Tzara becomes an Erva. Is that an Erva, obviously, is a forbidden relationship, and a Tzara basically becomes an Erva ad infinitum, to the point where it's going to kind of keep on growing and growing, right, to the point where if there are all these other women who are really not related to the scenario whatsoever, but if they're going to be co-wives with the tzara, with the erva, so then they also are not going to have to do yibum with the other brothers. So, okay, I hope that makes a little bit of sense. Let's dive into the Mishnah. Chavesh Shri Nashim Potros Tsaroseyan, Betsaros Tsaroseyan, Menachalitza, Umin Hayibim Atsof Olam. There are 15 wives and 15 relationships that are going to make the other wives that are married to this guy who passed away, Rachman al-Tzlan, they're not going to have to do Yibum. Now, this is not all the Ervas, but it's most of the Ervas, if you look in coming up, and Parshas Achremos, and Kedoshim as well, so it's a lot of them. So there are 15 of them that are going to make sure that they make no Yibum or Chalitza necessary in the case where, God forbid, the guy dies. So these are them, and the Eluhain, and these are them. Bito, the guy's daughter, again, if the guy's daughter, again, when I say Bito, so that means that the guy's daughter, right, was the woman he has to do Yibum with. So again, Reuven is married to, let's say, Rachel, and Rachel is Shimon's daughter. So that's Bito. Now, Rashi over here points out that Bito is not a regular daughter. It's a daughter that perhaps is a little illegitimate, because we're going to have a case of a daughter, right? Again, his wife's daughter, because if it's a legitimate daughter, then it's obviously his wife's daughter. We're going to say that later. So if you say Bito is daughter, right, without qualification, that's going to be an illegitimate daughter. Let's say a woman, perhaps, that he raped and she had a kid. Okay, not a tzaddik. But, okay, so his daughter, Ubas Bito, and his granddaughter, Ubas Beno, and a granddaughter from his son, Bas Ishto, his wife's daughter, meaning his stepdaughter, right, Ubas Bina, and the daughter of her son, right, Ubas Bita, and the daughter, again, the daughter of her daughter, Chamoso, his mother-in-law, Ve'im Chamoso, his grandmother-in-law, right, Ve'im Chamav, and his father's mother, father-in-law's mother, Achoso Me'imo, his half-sister, I always get half and step connected, yeah, half-sister, meaning, yeah, meaning his sister from his mother, v'achos imo, and his mother's sister, v'achos ishto, and his wife's sister. Right, that's again, that's an issue that achos ishto and ishus ach. Right, achos ishto is never. I always get them confused. One of them, right? Achos ishto is never mother. Right, you're never allowed to marry your wife's sister, as opposed to Eishes Ach, which is your brother's wife, which is normally off limits, but Yibum will get rid of it. Okay, fine. But that, you know what? I take it back, because I think, all right, anyway, forget what I just said, right? Scratch that from the record. Okay, Achos Ishto, his wife's sister, Ve'eishes Achiv, and his brother's wife, Me'imo, from, meaning his maternal, right? His brother from his mother's wife. Ve'eshes achiv, right, and his shelo haya bo olamo, and the wife of his brother that was not born yet, right, for whatever reason, again, the brother passed away before, meaning the first brother, right, again, the brother who passed away with no children, he passed away, and then the kid was born, right, so, and ve'kalaso, and his daughter-in-law, so in all those scenarios, right, there's not going to be a yibum or a chalitza performed if that is the relationship between the woman who needs to marry the brother, right, and the brother. Meaning that if not that this is the original relationship, obviously that's usur. But I'm telling you, if, again, just like the classic case, as we said before, if Reuven passes away and his wife is Shimon's daughter, so then that is, or any of these other relationships, then there's going to be no yibum and there's going to be no chalitza. So, right, elu pturos tzaroseyim, v'tzaros tzaroseyim, min hachalitza, min yibum asof olam. All of these are going to say there's no yibum for them, and also for any co-wives, and also if the co-wives then marry another guy, and another brother, and that brother dies, so any co-wives of that co-wife, that's also going to say that we're also going to say that there is no yibum to be performed. V'kulam emeso omiyano oniskarshu oshenimtsu ailanis tzaroseyim mutaros. And if all of these, if any of these women either died or did miyun, miyun is a scenario where if a father of a girl passed away, right, normally the father would marry off the daughter who was a ketana back then. It was a thing to get married really young. Again, maybe psychological, but also certainly because they want to make sure that the daughters were taken care of. And you know, once you're married, you got to take care of the daughters. Back then, Parnassa was not as pashut. You know, not that Parnassa is pashut, but Parnassa was a much bigger deal. So if you could marry your daughter off when she was 10, 11, you know, years old, so that was that was popular. If Rahman Aslan, the father, passed away, so Chazal instituted Midrabanan that the mother and the brother could marry the girl off, but then when she turned 12, she has the option to back out. That's called miyun. That when she becomes a gedola, she can be like, I'm out of here, I don't want to marry this guy, and she doesn't even need to get, she can just walk away. So that's miyun. So basically, if any of these women, again, either died, or did miyun, or got divorced, right, or they ended up being an islandess, which is a scenario where she can't have kids, she doesn't mature properly, Rahman al-Islan, and again, depending on what halakhic mechanism you want, basically it means that there wasn't a marriage. But anyway, all of these cases where the erva, where the woman who is usher to the yavam, passed away, right, before it became a yavam situation, right, again, or not passed away, I guess that's obvious, but in the other cases where, let's say, that she got a get, or other situations where she did mean, she dissolved the marriage, right, before the guy passed away, then Sarasim Mutaros, then the co-wife, again, let's say Reuven is married to Rachel and Leah, right, and Rachel dies, and then Reuven dies without kids. So now Leah was Rachel's co-wife, Rachel is Shimon's daughter. So Leah is now allowed to marry Shimon because the erva relationship between Rachel and Shimon, right, didn't exist when the Chiyuv Yibum came to pass, right? It didn't exist when Reuven died. So when Reuven died, there was no Chiyuv Yibum for Rachel, because obviously Rachel was either not married to him or divorced or passed away or whatever, or Mian, etc. So in that scenario, when the Chiyuv Yibum kicked in, there was no erva relationship between a wife of Reuven and Shimon. So therefore, the Tzarosei and all the other wives are allowed to marry Shimon. V'yata yachal lomar b'chamosu v'im chamosu v'im chamav shenimtu eilenis o shemienu. And the Gemara just points out an obvious case that you can't say a scenario if you're talking about that the relationship is a mother-in-law, right, or a mother-in-law, or the grandmother-in-law, or the father-in-law's mother, right? Obviously, you can't be that those either did mian or were an islandess, right, because it's not possible, because obviously they have kids, right? It can't be, right? It's not islandess means that they don't have kids, right? Obviously, they have children, obviously. Because their children was married, right, is the wife, right? Okay. Kate Zapotros started saying, what's the deal with that? How does that work? Again, I explained it, but the Mishnah tries to be as thorough as possible. Let's say, again, Shimon's daughter was married to his brother Reuven, and then Reuven has another wife, let's say Leah, umes, and then Reuven dies. Just like Rachel is pater from Yibum because Shimon is her father, and so too, the co-wife Leah is going to be pater from marrying Shimon because of that relationship. So, Halcha tzaras bito v'nises la'achiv. Now again, what is the tzara? What is the co-wife of the co-wife? What's the right? I guess twice removed. How does that work? Right, as we mentioned. So let's say now Leah goes and marries Levi, who is again Reuven and Shimon's brother. V'nises la'achiv v'sheni. V'lo ishacharas, and Levi has another wife named Bilhah. Umes, and then Levi dies without kids. Kishim said, Tzaros Bito Ptura, just like Leah is not going to do Yibum with Shimon because of what happened, because she was originally married, right, with Rachel, right, with his daughter. So, Kach Tzaros Ptura, so too, now Bilhah is not going to go and marry Shimon either. Afilu Hein Meah, even if there gets to be 100 cases like that, right, that's it's going to keep on going, right, until Ad Sof Olam. Ketzad. Now, how does that work, right? In Mesu Tzaroseim, that's what we said before, right? Ketzad in Mesu Tzaroseim Mutaros. What do you mean? How does it work that if they died, so then all of the other co-wives are okay? Meaning, if the wife died, right? Or again, that's just one example, but or get, or etc. Right? We're not married when Reuven died, right? If the erva was not married to Reuven at the time of his death, at the time of the chiyuv yibum, so how does that work? So ha'isabito achas mikol arayas ha'ilu nesuas la'achiv. Again, if Rachel, who is Shimon's daughter, was married to Reuven, right, v'lo isha cheres, and he's another wife that's named Leah, mesa bito o niskarsha, and the daughter either died or was divorced or etc., as we mentioned before, v'achagach mesa aviv, and then Reuven died, so then sarasa muteres, then again Leah is allowed to marry is allowed to marry Shimon. So v'chol ha'yechol l'mayim v'lo miyana, tzarasa choletzes v'lo misya bemes. And if, again, at the end we'll have to talk about this also, but if anybody was able to do miyun separately, right, without all these cases that we said before, right, stam, in a case where there was miyun, again, the girl was married by her brother and his mother and her mother, then she had an ability to do miyun, to get out of the marriage, and then didn't. Right? So then, sarasa choletzes v'lo misya b'emes. So then any other co-wife is going to do chalitza, but is not going to do yibum. We'll talk about that when we get to it. Okay, I should do a little bit of the Gemara here. Again, it's going to go on to Amud Aleph. But as you can see, the size of the dapim in Yevamos are obviously much different than the size, let's say, of the dapim. Let's say, if you're learning the Agadatas and Megillah now, right before Purim, so obviously the difference in size, right? Different type of Gemara, different style. Give you a lot of lumdus here that we're obviously not going to cover, right? But a lot of commentaries, right? A lot going on here on the size of the Gemara, but it means the dapim perhaps will be a little bit smaller. Let's see the Gemara a little bit. So Mechti, let's see. Kulu ma'achos isha yalfinan. All of these 15, ervas that we mentioned, right, the fact that they're not going to do yibum, as we'll learn this, I think, tomorrow, right? That we learn that out from achos isha, from the wife's, the sister of the wife, right? That you don't do yibum from that. So listen, achos isha bereisha. I mean, if that's a source, right? So why isn't that first? So v'chitei matana chomri nakat. If you'll tell me that we're starting with the most chomor, the most severe ones, the most serious relationships that are also Rabbi Shimon in Israel, Rabbi Shimon shita. Damar streifa chamuro, says that streifa is the worst. Again, streifa, again, it's machokas whether between Rabbi Shimon and the chachamim, whether streifa or skila is more chomor. So if you'll tell me this is Rabbi Shimon Shita, that Strafa is more Chomer, because that's what you get for a lot of the relationships in the Mishnah. The Yachi Lichnicha also Bereisha. So therefore, the mother-in-law should be first. Right? Take a Strafa, but Chomer also Ksiva, because that's where it's written by the Pasuk. Right? That's what the Pasuk says. Right? That's where you get you get Strafa by a mother-in-law. That's what it's mentioned. Right, but there are other cases as well, but that's the ikar. The Odin also, Basar Cham also listening Kalaso. And then the next one should be your daughter-in-law, right? The Basar Strafa Skila Chamura, not really right afterwards, but after all the other cases, right? That you get Strafa, then you should go to Skila, right, with your daughter-in-law, because that's what you get for sleeping with Chamal Tzal with your daughter-in-law. So Elas, the Gemara just says, Bito Kevin Dasi Midrasha Chavivale. Rather, no, we're starting, again, the first thing we started was with the daughter, right? Because that is learned out from a drasha, right? If you look at Rashi over here, last Rashi. Right? Again, it's learned out through. It's not straight up in the pasuk, right? Again, that as I said, it's not. We're not talking about a regular daughter, but it's other situation. Right? Again, we're going to talk about that mitzvah tomorrow. But since again, it's learned from some sort of drasha, so for whatever reason, the Tana who was writing the Mishnah thought it was better. He appreciated it more. All right. Well, obviously this has to continue on tomorrow. Very exciting. Hope you're with us for the long haul. Mitzvah Shem. We'll go right there in the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.